chose to use babies. You chose to use little babies that are still on the breast to win battles so everybody would know how great you are. It was not David that defeated the giant. David wanted to remember his own weakness. And it's his own weakness that shows the greatness of our God. In 1 Corinthians 1:27, the Bible said, "But God had chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. He's chosen the base things of the world and things that are despised." That's what God has chosen. "And things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." And here's the reason: that no flesh should glory in his presence. That's what David's saying in Psalm chapter 8. "I will not take glory. I will not let you brag on me about this. I will remind you that it is God that has done this great work." And you and I will never forget it's his grace, not your goodness. I'm saved because I have a great God. I am not saved because of my goodness. I'm saved by grace. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that out of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." David said God does stuff with weaklings to show that it's not the weakling. No one on that day looking at that battle would have ever placed a bet on David to beat Goliath. Everyone would have known that all the odds are on the side of Goliath. Because anybody ought to know that Goliath is a man of war. David's just a boy as far as battles go. David can't win that battle. And God says, "I know he can't. Watch this." And but David knows it too. And David says, "It won't be me. It'll be the name of our God." See, God is so great that he makes and creates all the wonders. He puts them in orbit and he controls the universe. Look, if you would, at Psalm 8:3. "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars that you have ordained." It's pretty easy to get a pompous attitude. It's pretty easy to get arrogant. It's pretty easy to get a big head. But David said, "Why don't you go outside at night? And why don't you go outside the city limits where there's no lights? And why don't you get where there's nothing there? And then you look up in the sky and you see all the things that God has created. And then you remember that God put them up there." I like what it says, "the work of your fingers." I have no idea. This is poetry. So you want me to tell you what it really means when he says it with the work of your fingers? You didn't even need to use your arm. You didn't even need to use anything. You just made little planets and you just made a whole solar system. All you needed was your fingers because you're so big, because you're so great. And when I walk out and look up in the heavens, I am amazed at how great you are. How do those stars stay in their place? How do I see the same star in the same place? How in the world do you do it, God? How do you do it? He's the creator. Not only is he the creator, he's the controller. He says he has ordained them. He has put them in their place. He has put them where he wants them to go. "And I should consider what he has done and see my smallness." Go with me, if you would, to Psalm verse chapter 8 and verse 4. Now, this is the verse that is exciting out of this chapter. It's the verse that's probably most often quoted out of this verse. And what it really amounts to is when you've sung the song so far, you're like, "God, God, God, oh God, you're big. Oh God, you're big." And then you get to verse 4 and you go, "I can't believe it. He thought about us. I can't believe it. He thought about us." Look, if you would, at what the verse says. "What is man that thou art mindful of him? What's a little speck of humanity on one planet you created? What is he that you would think about him? What is a little man? I may have just been used to kill Goliath, but I'm just a wee little man on a great big planet in the middle of a solar system, in the middle of a galaxy, in the middle of all of your creation. God, I can't believe you would stoop to think about me. Much less to visit me, much less to think about me, much less to hear and answer my prayers." When you see how great God is and all that he has done, when you see that, it ought to shock you that God would listen to your prayers. It ought to shock you that God would send Jesus to visit us. It ought to shock you that the God who made the universe, the planets and the galaxies, why would he ever think of us? Because if you'll be honest, verse 5, we are just a creation. That's all we are. We're just a creation. We're just something he made. Psalm 8:5 said, "For thou hast made him." Now, We're going to get to a little Lord and the angels in just a second. But I need to remind you that David says clearly, every other country makes their gods. Every other country in the universe, every other country all around us, all the countries, the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Philistines, and everybody makes their gods. They make little idols and they make big idols and they make all of these things. But we didn't make you, God. You made us. He is the creator, God. We are the creation. He that for thou hast made man. You live in a world that thinks that God is a product of our imagination, that religion made him up. You go to school and you hear the evolutionary story, and God is something that we've made to control other human beings. But David didn't believe that. David believed that he was a created being, created by the God of heaven. But he was honored. Not only was he a created being, but he was honored. You see, God made all these animals and all these birds and all these fish and things in the ocean. God made all the planets and God made all the stars and the sun and God made everything. But for some reason, God chose us, human beings, and he let us be something. You see, there's God up in the majesty, the only one who has always been and always will be, the one who knows everything, the one who is ever present, the one who is all powerful. And around him, he has put some angels that serve him and magnify him and glorify him at all times. And then one day, God came down and made an earth. And when he made an earth, he made some men. And when he did that, God said, I'm going to pick you men up and I'm going to raise you up above everything else and make you a little bit lower than angels. I'm going to crown you like I won't crown any animal, like I won't crown any part of creation. You see, if you believe the Bible, we are not just regular animals. I know they told you in science that you were just an animal, but that's not what the Bible says. That's not what David believed. David thought God made us, and he made us a little lower than angels. And then he honored us as human beings above all the rest of creation. Verse 5 said, and he has crowned him with glory and honor. You realize what God did? God came down here in all of this creation. You know the story. You see, David would have fully believed Genesis 1 and 2. Maybe some preachers today would tell you that's not very important and not to believe it, but David would have believed it. David had no doubt God made man. David had no doubt that God did something on the first day, and the second day, and the third day. David had no doubt about that. And David had no doubt that on the sixth day, God chose one of those to be his creation. He made a woman out of a rib, and he had a special conversation with them. No conversations with the bears and the lions. No conversations with the giraffes and the monkeys. God crowned man. And then he gave him responsibility. Look, if you would, in Psalm chapter 8 and verse 6. Thou madest him. I like that. I know some of you think I'm overemphasizing that, but if God didn't make us, we are not responsible to him. Can I tell you the government didn't make us? We're not here because we've risen out of our own strength and we're above all the rest of it. And sometime later on, another part of the creation or the beings on the planet will take our place. No, God made us specially, but he made us to have dominion over his work, over what God made. You see, it was God who made the tiger. It was God who made the river. It was God who made the mountain. It was God who made the land. It was God who made it all. And God said, I'm going to put you in charge of it. I don't know if you see that, but in Psalm chapter 8 and verse 6, David is kind of meditating back on Genesis chapter 2. And he said, God made man and God gave him dominion and God put things under his feet. What did he put under his feet? Psalm chapter 8 and verse 7, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatever thing else that goes to the paths of the sea. So whales and all other big marine animals, every one of them, God put them there. And what man needs to realize is his smallness and his need of God. We are to acknowledge that we are nothing without God. David has just won a battle against Goliath. And I don't know what you see. I think that's when this psalm is written. And I don't know if you see this, but maybe David is being carried on the shoulders of everybody. And maybe everybody's going, rah, 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 David. And maybe everybody's magnifying David. And everybody's lifting up David. And David's going, oh, whoa, whoa, stop it. Stop it. It wasn't me. It's him. It's him. He's great. He made us. I can't believe he would think of us and he uses weaklings like me. You know I couldn't have won that battle. It's not because I'm that good with a slingshot. It's the great God I serve. So we go to Psalm 8 and verse 9. It is God's name that's excellent, not David's, not ours, and all the earth needs to recognize God. Psalm 8, 9 says, O Lord, our Lord. I started out with a personal Lord. I'll end with a personal Lord. But how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Basically, let's don't chant David. Let's chant Jesus. Basically, let's not make much of a man who was made by the fingers of God who will soon die. Let's think about a God who made it all and who's all powerful. People may be recognizing David, but he wants them to recognize God, the God that gave David everything and the God that made David. David knows he is just a created being. David knows that it is God above all. So I would just like to ask you to think on his name for a minute. Yesterday, I just took some time to think about his name. One day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus really is the Lord. There's a name above every name. One day, every tongue shall confess that name. By the way, his name is the only name that offers salvation. God's people do all their ministry in his name. All across the United States of America right now, preachers are standing up and speaking to a screen with an empty church house. We do it not because of our churches and not because of our ministries, but because of him and because of his name. It's all in his name. His name is the life-giving name. It is his name that gives us power and authority to do God's work. We step out to go across the world. We take the Bible. We walk into another community, and in that community, we preach Jesus. They don't like Jesus. They don't believe in Jesus. They're not looking for Jesus. They don't want Jesus. But Jesus said before he left, all power, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and teach them to observe everything I've written here. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So I end this morning with this. Vision Baptist Church, I love you, but we're not that great. But he is. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. But they're nothing. We're just little humans. There's an awesome God who thousands of years ago said, from nothing, I'll make something. And when he made something so big we can't imagine it. And our scientists spend their entire lives studying all this that he made and slowly try to figure out some of it. And I know who it is. It's the God of heaven. And the God of heaven looked down and said, I made man. And then he said, and man, I made you and I crowned you and I raised you up to a special relationship with me like I have with no one else. I made a garden for you to live in and I moved in with you into that garden and I had a special fellowship, but you rejected me. But I'm not the kind of, that makes you and throws you away, but I won't have you without you wanting it. And so he comes to us and says, you know what? I will die on a cross and I will pay your sin debt and I will make it possible for you to be saved. And he comes down. He's the one that went to seek out Adam and Eve. Salvation wasn't an Adam and Eve initiative. It was a God initiative. It wasn't Adam and Eve that came up with a plan for Jesus to die. It was a God plan. It was God who did it. And today I just want you to know, if you're not saved, he loves you and he died for you. And I want you to know, if you're one of our church people or you're somebody else listening, that we are not playing a game. It's his name. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. I can't end without this. It's not all that excellent in all the earth. Yet, in their minds, they don't know it. So we must go. We must tell people about Jesus. We must introduce them to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. We are his witnesses in all the earth. I want to thank you for listening. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, if you would. Father, in heaven, I love you, and I praise you, and I magnify you, and I thank you for allowing us to be in your house this morning. And I thank you for our people that gathered around different electronic devices, and they have listened, they've been giving, been having devotions with her family, and they can't wait to come back to be together in assembly like you told us to be. And I just pray, God, that today we'd go to lunch knowing this: how excellent is your name. We magnify you. We lift you up. We praise you. You're a wonderful God. We give it all to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you very much for being with us today. I hope that it's at least something to help us get together again as soon as it's possible. God bless you and goodbye.